Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So, when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is all about Google. Apparently, Google has recently cut ties with Scale AI, which is huge news. Scale AI has actually been in the news quite a bit lately, so we're going to talk about that. And also, some new features out of Google, is including AI or audio overviews for search inquiries, which is pretty cool. So we're going to talk about all that. Before we do, Jaden, why don't you tell them about our school community?
Yeah, so every single week, Jamie and I record a video that we don't post anywhere else, and we just put it on our school community. And essentially, it's breaking down. It's giving you like an inside look on how we're both using AI in our personal businesses. So this is stuff we don't publish anywhere else. We show exactly like how we're talking to customers, how we're finding new customers, you know, how much money different businesses or side hustles are making. Like an example is how Jamie made $20,000 last year with a project he used. He did with Amazon, and how he's scaling it with AI this year. So a whole bunch of stuff. This week we made a whole video breaking down how I was able to go from a 4% open rate with a specific email newsletter software, switch it to a new one, import it to a new one, and go up to about a 20% open rate on a email newsletter list that was close to 100,000. So just like stuff that we don't share anywhere else, breaking down exactly what we're doing inside of our businesses. If that's interesting to you, go check out the school community. It's $19 a month. We'll probably raise the price in the future, but if you lock in that price now, it won't ever be raised on you. We have over 350 members, so it is a ton of fun, and they all share in the community feedback, what they're working on, different things. So you get access to all of that, an amazing community, and all of our videos, which we've made over 50. We've been doing this for over a year. We do it every single week, and yeah, it's kind of the inside scoop. So if that's interesting, go check out the AI Hustle school community. We would love to have you as a member, but let's get into what Google is doing, because this week it is getting crazy. Jamie, I guess with everything going on with Scale AI, you want to give a little backdrop on like Sure. Scale AI, what they're doing, why?
Yes, so that's great. So to start, Scale AI is a data labeling company. So they basically will label data for AI to train off of, which you wouldn't think of being a big business, but apparently it is, because recently Meta invested $14.3 billion in Scale AI. And they acquired a 49% stake in the company. Not only that, the CEO, Alexander Wang, joined Meta to lead the company's AI efforts. So it's a big deal. It's a big industry and it's big money. But it also sounds like a giant headache for Google to be leaving their data labeling service and, I don't know, attempting to find another one. Jaden, what do you think about all this?
Okay, so there's a couple interesting things. One is that Scale AI has been like looking at a bunch of different options they have for financing and other things. You know, some people said maybe they're going to go public. There's a bunch of different things because they are making a lot of money. Just Google alone, just as like say people are like, oh, whatever, Google's cutting ties with this company. This is a big customer. Google alone was planning on paying Scale AI about $200 million just this year. Now they're trying to cut ties. They're trying to find other people. Microsoft is also apparently trying to pull back. OpenAI supposedly is also trying to pull back a little bit. So the CFO of Scale AI said the company is going to continue working. The CFO of OpenAI said that the company is going to continue working with Scale AI and a bunch of other vendors. So they're trying to like downplay it. But apparently a lot of people are feeling like, look, this is just turning into Meta's company. So we don't want to be too tied in closely to, you know, a competitor in the AI space, because 49% ownership of Scale AI is like kind of like an acquisition, but also kind of just like an investment. This is exactly the same deal that, by the way, we saw Microsoft make with OpenAI, you know, back a couple years ago. They put in $10 billion and they also got 49% of OpenAI's, I don't know, one of their LLC parent controlling companies. That's super convoluted over there, but it's pretty much the same deal where they put in a massive amount, over $10 billion, they got 49%. And so now we're seeing Meta use the exact same playbook. They're seeing this really valuable company in the AI space. And they're putting 14.3 billion, which is insane, for 49%. So why do I think this is important? I think it's interesting because on the one hand, they're giving a ton of money to Scale AI. Scale AI really can't say no to that. Like, that's just so much money. But on the other hand, they're kind of nuking the business because all of the biggest customers are kind of pulling back. And when you think about it, there isn't that many customers that are going to be putting paying $200 million, right? You have Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, maybe Anthropic, maybe like a handful of other people that need like this, you know, tons of trained data for whatever their LLMs are. And so if they're all pulling back, the company is obviously going to be making a lot less money. But at the same time, it's like, well, they just got $14 billion from Meta, so it doesn't really matter. In Meta's, in Meta's case, I'm sure they're saying, look, we're buying this company that's got like revenue, so that's good. So I guess this would be a disappointment if the revenue goes down. But for them, they're really buying it because they want the team, the talent, and they want they want access to all of this trained data that Scale AI has. I'm sure this is going to be a massive benefit to Meta. So it's a really interesting in place to be. There is so much money getting thrown around right now. Meta, I think, is like done some really cool things. They have the Meta Ray-Bans, which I think are really cool. Their Meta AI, like, gotta give them props that it does have a lot of distribution. But on the same at the same time, Meta is also getting roasted by a lot of people for, you know, their Meta AI having some, you know, like mess ups by accidentally sharing or posting all these people's private AI conversations public. So Meta's like in the spotlight, and I think they're really trying to like create the best AI tool and not fall behind, because people have been saying they've been falling behind with Meta AI's kind of ChatGPT competitor for, I think, probably like the last 6 months. It feels like they've been kind of slipping behind ChatGPT and like Grok and Gemini and stuff. So I think they're trying to catch up, and it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to do that by, you know, dropping $14 billion on this company.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what'll happen with it all, because I kind of like the idea that, you know, some of the major players are not all using the same data. It's kind of right. Nice, you know, if especially if you want there to be like specific use cases or some kind of differentiation between them. I feel like it's helpful almost to have different data sets, you know, like if they're all looking at the same 1,000 pictures of a watermelon, they're going to probably give you the same result, you know, where if one is the specialist in watermelons and they have like all the different pictures of the seeds and stuff, they might give you a better result if you're wanting to know a lot about watermelons, for example.
Yep. Yeah. It's true. So I think it's going to be good if we can diversify the data. I mean, some people say all the data, like it's all the same data all over the internet. These big companies have gotten literally everything. But I think what can set it apart, though, is how you label the data, how you clean the data and sort it. And so that's kind of where Scale AI was like making a big difference. There's not too many people at the scale of Scale AI. But like, I think this is definitely an asset for Meta. Okay. I wanted to talk about one other really interesting thing with AI and Google this week, other than just them, you know, trying to cut away from Meta and Scale AI. And that is that Google is now testing audio overviews for search results. So when you're asking Google a question, they're giving you, if you're on Spotify or YouTube, you can see me share my screen, see exactly what this looks like. Otherwise, I'll explain. But if you ask Google something like, you know, how do sound canceling headphones work? It will have like an actual audio bit that you can click and play, and it will like play it for you. This is a lot like, for me personally, using ChatGPT's voice assistant. So like, I just like chat with ChatGPT and I'm like, hey, you know, it's just like you're just talking to it. So I think it's pretty much that same functionality, but they're just like generating an audio clip that you can play on. I guess, Jamie, in your opinion, is this better or worse than just like talking to a voice assistant on ChatGPT?
I mean, I think it's helpful because, you know, again, if you're using Google in the first place, you don't want to have to hop off Google. And then if you don't feel like reading, if you're busy, you know, mowing the lawn or something, you don't have to stop and read and research. You can just kind of consume while you're doing your other tasks. So you can multitask. I think it's great.
Yeah.
This actually reminds me of what we talked about in our school community, the email service we talked about. In my most recent email, I was able to check a box and it did a audio summary of my email, so people could just listen to it if they wanted. So I think it's really helpful in a lot of cases, specifically multitasking. And I think Google is very smart to do it. So
yeah, this is pretty cool. And if you guys have been following the podcast and the AI space for a while, you'll know that Google is kind of leading the way with Notebook LM, one of the kind of the leading audio thing. So this is actually what it's being powered by. They're using Notebook LM, this kind of AI-based voice tool to power this functionality. I think it's cool. If I'm being 100% honest, I would love to just see them focus a little bit more maybe on the chat interface with Google's voice assistant. I think that like Grok and OpenAI both have great, OpenAI probably has the best, but Grok has a decent one as well. I've chatted with both of them before. I think the voice sounds more natural on ChatGPT. Grok's isn't too far behind, but it's definitely not quite as refined. So I think at the end of the day, that's the best. If it was ChatGPT and I like asked it a question and it came up with an audio file and I got to click play and then listen to it, I feel like it'd be a little bit, I don't know. But there is pros and cons to that too, because I guess maybe if I'm like, ask it a bunch of questions and then I got to like do something immediately and I can't have it like talking to me, but I want to go listen to the voice memo after. That's kind of useful. With like Google search, you know, half the time you could just read it, but maybe you're too lazy to read it or you're trying to drive, so you got to be hands-free, so you're asking it for something and you want to click on it. I see both use cases, but either way, I think I would like to see Google incorporate just like a straight up competitor to ChatGPT's voice mode into the Google search results with their Google Voice Assistant, and then maybe have this as an additional add-on perhaps. That's how I would probably think it would be most natural. But as it is, I mean, yeah, better than nothing. And I definitely got a lot of use to it.
Nice. Yeah. Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a review. We really appreciate those and we read every single one. And check out our school community if you haven't yet. It's a great place to learn how to grow your business using AI or also make some side cash. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.